Well, first of all, happy Thanksgiving. I trust you all. I think they were quiet this morning, Kevin. Too much turkey, too much tryptophan. So why don't we just all do this? Okay, there we go. Now we know we're all awake and nice to see you. Thank you for waving at me. It was great. Anyway, this morning, let's see if I can get this done. We're starting a new series, which I'm really excited about. And if we listen to the words that came this morning and what was taking place, we're starting a new series called Refresh. And the purpose of this series, and I know the elder said to me, well, how long do you think we're going to go? I said, I have no idea, but over the next couple of weeks, if you give us your rapt attention, this is a whole body of truth we want to look at. And in the natural, we end up living in survival mode instead of victory. And it's easy for us as Christians to get into this state, to get into this stagnant and what I call stagnant and lifeless, living in a state where you're simply going through the motions. I come to church on Sunday because that's what Christians do. We come to church. And there is just so much more beyond that. I believe that every one of us, and I think this has been said this morning, Kevin almost preached my sermon, and so well done, Kevin, because it's all about me, and no, it's not, it's about Jesus. And I believe that all of us from time to time need a refreshing time, a time through our lives when we step into that refreshing realm, and when we step into that refreshing realm, it will change our lives. Something will happen within us that will change our lives when we step into that. And so today's sermon is called Decide. We have to decide. Cause to come to a resolution, it says. Cause to come to a resolution or make a choice. We have to have a mind as a result of consideration of something. And you can turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1, please. And we're going to look at that. But we, just to give you a little bit of a background, Paul is in prison writing his second letter to young Timothy, and he's writing from prison, and the point of the book that he's writing is to encourage Timothy to remain passionate about Jesus and to remain firm and sound in doctrine. And the second thing is to avoid ungodly beliefs. You know, we could almost have said that this was like part, 8 or 9 or something, of a skewed view. But I just thought, you know, well, a skewed view, we could keep on preaching till Jesus comes back. But we can go back to it and visit it some other time. But right now, I just felt we needed to move on. It's the part and parcel of it was when we started the year off, remember we started off deeper, higher, wider, bearing fruit, getting deep roots, etc. We've gone through the year, and I know for some of us, we think December's the end of the year, but school-wise and everything else, September's the beginning of the year, so we're just into the beginning of the year, and I just feel we need some refreshing. And he encourages Timothy to encourage the believers to stand firm in the faith and to finish the race strongly. And he turns and he says, all in Asia have deserted me. Think about that for a while. Here is Paul, the great apostle, preaching. He's in jail, in prison, and he says, all in Asia have deserted me, have abandoned me, have left me, depending on what scripture, which version you're reading from. And he says, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. I think that's how you say that. But for Onesiphorus, who often refreshed me. And we understand the heart of it because we all know this scripture so well. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God gave us not a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and self-control, or a sound mind, depending what. And we quote that so many times, but we have to not only just quote scripture and give mental assent to it, it has to be in our hearts. It has to exude out of our person. So we get to 2 Timothy 1:6. 16, sorry. It says, may the Lord grant mercy to the household of Nesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Now, the word refresh in the Greek is anasicho, to cool again, to cool off, to recover from the effects of heat, to refresh one's spirit. You may, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. That's not what I'm saying. To recover one's breath, to take in a breath of fresh air, to refresh oneself. And that's what all that was saying there. As followers of Christ, we often allow life to rob us. And he's saying even these two people, Phygellus and other big word, have deserted me. Now, we don't really know who they are, but I imagine they were like Paul's staunch supporters, and they were with Paul, and no, Paul, we got your back, you know, and if you're in the middle, we got your six, Paul, and hi, guys, where are you? Well, everyone's there, except for Onesiphorus. What a great guy. We are often so busy on the wheel of life that we actually don't take time to stop and smell the roses, as the saying would go. And we speak to people and we ask them, can I just be real this morning? Christians lie. How are you doing? Well, I'm doing fine. Yeah, probably not. How about we just be honest and say, actually, I know I've tested this a few times, and whoever I've tested with has failed miserably. Because we're just so stuck on this Christianese nonsense. How are you doing? I ask them. They ask me, how are you doing? I say, I'm having a bad day. Oh, praise the Lord. We'll pray for you, brother. What? I know you do this. And you do it to yourselves, and you do it to others. And I want to encourage you this morning to stop. The first thing they say, oh, I'm so busy. Really? You're really so busy? No, this is just an expression. And on the reverse side of it, someone's in hospital and we don't hear about it, or they've had an issue and then we hear about it later, and their first comment is, oh, but you're so busy, Pastor. It's grasshopper mentality. Remember I preached last time on grasshopper mentality? And we saw them and they were like grasshoppers in our eyes. Who said that? No, that was in their heads. That's in your heads. If we are too busy to visit, we will say, we'll see you later. Or we're never too busy if there's a crisis. And that's for all the elders, by the way, I'm just saying. But we got to stop that. I'm so busy. Oh, I'm so busy. Because that becomes the mindset of the people. And we want to be refreshed. We want to live in the freedom, as it was said this morning. We need to get around some more Onesiphorus peoples. I'm just going to call him Mr. O from now on, because it's just too long to say. It's a five-syllable name. If you want to name your kid a great name, then there we go. People revive us and refresh wind and blow wind into ourselves. We want to get around to people like that. Very people who will help us. And actually, sometimes you need to be the Mr. O to other people, or the Mrs. O to other people. Not always just about me. Imagine how down and gloomy Paul might have been, awaiting death, deserted by all. We need refreshing, because sometimes we're down and we're in despair and we're feeling despondent, gloomy, or even in depression. Now in Canada, yeah, we have this thing called SAD, and we get it in winter. 2% to 3% of this population get it. Seasonal affective disorder. And we all know what that's caused from. The lack of sunlight. We don't have enough vitamin D in our bodies. And so we end up with SAD, and it's related to depression, and it's lack of sunlight. And it's akin to depression that you might be receiving. And you know, sometimes, horror of horrors, I've been in depression. I've been depressed. And only came out and realized that I was depressed afterwards. But if you'd asked me in my depression and my time, how you doing, Mark? I would have done the, yeah, I'm fine, thank you. I don't know why we do that to ourselves. And we have to understand that when we get as Christians also suffer from SAD, but this one is called Spiritual Altering Deficit. When we have the lack of sunlight, we get sad, or we get the sad. But if we have enough sunlight, we don't get SAD, Spiritual Affective Disorder or Deficit. Oh, my word. I had fun doing this, you can imagine, as you hope you can see. So what is this? How does this work in our lives? I'm so glad you asked. So the number one is when we receive sad, if you're spiritually altering deficit at the moment, you fake it. I'm just going to say sad because I'm helping some people enjoy themselves too much. You can't let anyone know you're suffering from sad. So you pretend everything's okay. It's okay. You put on the bravado because if you let others how you really feel, people will come and ask you, how are you doing? And you have to put on this upper appearance. Oh, I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm doing great. But it's the outer appearance that we're looking at and we're going, yes, I'm all right. But we're not interested in the outer appearance. Because underneath all this, I've said it many times, lurks a good body. And so, moving on, we need to understand that underneath is this festering wound. And we have duct tape mentality. We take the duct tape and we put it over the wound and we show everybody, look, I'm fine, I'm okay. How are you doing? Oh, I'm okay. Oh, just the way you say it has to elicit. And of course, we had a dear lady in South Africa, which I'm not saying we need to be. Bridget, how are you doing? I'm fine. No, Bridget. How are you really doing? No, actual fact, I really am fine. No, but I think you really should tell me. Now, that's not what I'm saying we should be doing. We should learn to go, how are you doing, Bridget? She says, I'm having a terrible day, and then we can do something about it. And we actually talk about it. Sometimes we just peek underneath, or we just lift up the little band-aid, or just cover it all up again so nobody can see. Jeremiah 6:13 says, for from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain, and from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace. When there is no peace, Jeremiah is saying, everyone is not listening to me because Jeremiah had prophesied a calamity was coming upon the body, upon the people of Israel. But none of them wanted to listen to them. And so he was like, oh, well, you know, and they're saying, everybody, he's talking. And then he goes, he says, from the prophet to the priest, from the saints to the pastors, everybody is dealing falsely and they're pretending. And he's saying, stop that, don't do that, because they come along and they say, oh, well, how are you feeling? He says, no, it's okay, peace, peace. But there is no peace. And that was part of the word that came this morning that Kevin went on about. He said, sometimes we're not in peace, but we pretend we're in peace. And I want to tell you, I say to people sometimes, you know, this, well, Pastor, you didn't visit me in hospital. I said, yeah, you know, my little, what's that thing called? My crystal ball was in for repairs. How do I know? Pick up the phone, say something, talk to somebody. You don't always have to call the pastor. Well, you can. You can call your friend, call your neighbor. I'm having a bad day. Please pray for me. Talk to somebody so that we can go. Because what the problem is there's this downward spiral all the time. He says the prophets were prophesying falsely because they wanted peace, peace, but there was no peace. Let this be a lesson to us all. You know, the Christianese, oh, don't worry, brother, I'll pray for you. And you never do. I just want us to be real today. That's why I've made it a habit. If someone says to me something, I'll say, let's pray right now. And it doesn't matter where we are. We can be in the shop. We can be in the movie house. We can be, doesn't matter. Let's pray right now. Because then I'm guaranteed of not forgetting, and I genuinely mean it. And sometimes we have to also remember, Dudley told us this once, don't just mention it. Take them before the throne of God. Hey, our Lord, and just remember Bridget and let her get well. No, that's not praying for Bridget. That's just mentioning her. That's like, oh, I'm appeased my conscience now. No. Let's get time and pray for people. Talk to people. Help people. Because otherwise, when you fake it, you just go, okay, well, all right. Because then people stop asking. Well, no one ever asks. Yeah, well, because you fib every time they talk to you. Faking is a very dangerous place to be. Because if you stay there, you develop stage two. Stage two of sad is you put it off. You start putting off dealing with the situation at hand. Your brain has bought into another lie. The lie is this: if I don't deal with it now, when I wake up tomorrow morning, it'll all be okay. It'll just go away. It'll get better. You buy into the deeper lie that time will heal. Time does not heal. Only the Holy Spirit heals. When I came and I thought about this, and I thought, yeah, but you know, we always say that time heals. No. My father died in 1981. I still miss him today. Time hasn't healed that hole in my heart. Holy Spirit has. I'm healed. Please, yeah, no, don't go, you're all broken now, you're all messed up. No, I'm not. But I still miss my dad. I still remember him with fondness. It wasn't time that healed, it was Holy Spirit that healed that. We need to get that. Time actually makes it worse, because we have the sad thing that grows and becomes a root and a weight that you carry around, and you keep perpetuating the lie, thinking tomorrow will be better. And some of your marriages are like that. You have this big blow up, this big fight, you don't deal with it, you don't talk about it. Now, in our house, I need time to process. Bridget doesn't need time to process. So she wants to deal with it now. Let's deal with this now. And I'm going, babes, let's talk about it another time. And so we can deal with it and deal with it well and get it out the way and get it whole and heal. Some of your marriages and friendships and relationships have not been fresh for a long, long time. Still suffering the heat of it. You keep thinking and behaving like tomorrow it'll be okay. Tomorrow, when I see that person, tomorrow it'll be okay. No, it won't be okay, because you're thinking peace, peace, when there is no peace. Each day you will drift further apart. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. So when it's just Bridge and I, and if we're having this argument and we don't deal with it, and that root gets deeper and deeper and more bitter, it's not just the two of us that it affects. It'll affect, in our case, all of you. So we have to learn that others will become affected by it. So we want to deal. So we live whole and healed. And we live moving forward and moving upward, not going down. We have to learn to be gardeners of our soul. Because when we're gardeners of our soul, if you get a little weed, all it takes is two fingers. You just go and you pull the weed out like that, and then it's good, and it's gone. But if you leave that little weed to grow, it actually develops, and it grows, and it gets good roots, and it grows a strong plant, and then all of a sudden it's, help me somebody! And then you've got to bring in the big machinery to dig this whole thing out. Whereas if we just in the beginning just took it and go, okay, there we go, that weed's gone. We're good to go. Number three, downward spiral. You give up. We end up in a situation, we lose all hope. I can't fake it anymore. I've tried faking it. It's not working. I put things off for so long. I'm just going to give up now. I give up. I can't do this. Give up seems to be such the easy solution. We give up on our marriages. We give up on our relationships. We give up on our friendships. We give up, and worst of all, we give up on God. Some of you think it'll never change. Why? Because you're not dealing with it. Deal with it. Allow Holy Spirit. And we're going to get there. We'll talk more about it. Job says, where then is my hope? Who can see hope for me? That's the NIV says it that way. Job sees a hope. Job, you know the story of Job. He saw a hopeless situation. Hope against his whole hope against all hope that God would rescue him. But he was impatient. Have you noticed, though, In your own situation, you cannot see the wood for the trees. But when somebody else comes and tells you about the exact same situation that you might be going through, you go, aha, I have the solution. And you see it so clearly. And that's why we need other people to help us and walk with us. Because when we are so down in with our heads down, digging in the dirt like two ostriches, we can't see anything. And then someone else comes along and they say, oh, what about this, this, and this? You go, oh, yeah, no, that's easy. Just take two fingers and pull out the weed and you're all happy. Meanwhile, you're actually down digging and you just can't see it. And we have to understand that we don't give up hope. Help is on the way, if I could put it that way. Number four, you die. Spiritually altering deficit. Something, unfortunately, this becomes too real for some people. And they actually physically check out. I mean, they commit suicide. They take their lives. And that is not the answer. People die morally. Well, I've given up now. It's just, I'm just going to do whatever I want. I'm just going to go and enjoy life. That's me. I'm just going to have it. The character is corrupted because it's all about me. And I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think. I don't care what other people say. You know that even some of the Bible greats felt that way? For we do not want you to be unaware, Paul speaking, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. The NIV says we were under sentence of death. And they were going, man, we don't understand this. We felt so terrible. In Paul's situation, can you imagine? How many times shipwrecked? How many times beaten? How many times left? How many to die? How many times starving? It goes on and on and on and on. We get one little rejection from somebody and we my life is over. I just can't deal with this. Unfortunately, we end up in this little downward spiral. We fake it, we put it off, we give up, and you die. However, as I've said today, today is a day for us to decide. Today will help us decide. But you know, this whole decision started back in Genesis. Everything always goes back to Genesis. If you don't understand something that you're reading, go back and start in Genesis. And it says there, that in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And over the next couple of weeks, I want to walk us through this series where we'll learn to overcome the effects of sad. With this downward spiral, we will be refreshed. We need a blast of refreshing in our lives. This is not you, this is us. We together as family. Holy Spirit wants to refresh you and clear the cobwebs from your life and to expose you to more of the sunlight that we can be refreshed. There's a decision to be made over the next couple of weeks and hopefully today. The problem is most people contracted the sad by making decisions that they made. And they don't know how to get out of it because they keep making the same decisions. Poor ones. And you know the old expression? You'll always get what you've always gotten if you keep on doing what you've always done. Yeah, we need to break that pattern, break the chains, as was said this morning. We can do all the seemingly thing right things externally, do the works, make wrong choices will get us through these four folks, because we all think it's about doing the works. If we do the works, then look at me, look how I'm doing. And we can either be a colorful flag blowing in the wind going, look at me, or we can just be a sail on a ship with the Holy Spirit blowing through us and taking us forward. What we need is the transformation of the inner man, not the external. Yeah? The good news is external takes a long time. Internal can be like that, where we receive Christ and walk in His ways. When we try and do the external thing, without the transformation of the inner man, it will result in a spiritual death because it is too much for us. That's why we have Jesus, our only hope. The gospel is not an external function or operation. The gospel is internal. When we need to do, it's we learn that it's not from the outside in, but it's from the inside out. And I know this is just a little bit punt for our parenting group. We just started the parenting group, and we have to understand something, that when we're raising children and we're raising ourselves, we have to deal with the heart issue. Because most parenting is not dealing with the heart issue. It's actually dealing with behavior modification. Now, often, my behavior modification came through a thing called this thing that holds my pants up. My mother knew how to wield that thing expertly. And that was my behavior modification. And sometimes we bribe the kids and we promise them things that we're not going to deliver, or we restrict them, or we ground them. And those are all good things. Please, Mark said we don't have to discipline our children. No, he didn't say that. What he's saying is that we can do that, but the better thing is to train your children to be faithful to God, to know the scriptures, to understand who God is, what he is in their life, how he's dealing with them. My heart is trained for this woman over here. My heart is trained to faithfully be a husband. I don't need to look at other women, because my heart is for her, so that every other option is no option at all. You get what I'm saying? We have to train ourselves and our children that there is no option at all. We are trained to love God, to keep that focus, to keep Jesus our focus. Holy Spirit, guide and lead us into all truth. When we help to do that, then children will do stuff, and we'll see later on. And as I said, that's why this decide goes all the way back to Genesis. There were two trees and a decision to be made. This was the first lesson in decisions and consequences. We think, I'll make a decision, there's no consequence. Let me tell you for free, every decision you make has a consequence attached to it. There's no pulling the link on this one, they're together. Whatever decision you make will have a consequence. Good decisions, good consequences. Bad decisions, bad consequences. And that is it. And we see that mankind, unfortunately, I don't understand it. Why? Because I'm part of mankind. If I knew the answer, I'd let you know. Have this gravitational pull towards knowledge. Just tell me how to do it. Tell me what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and I'll do it. That's not heart. Train the heart. And that's what Jesus, the Father, was trying to tell Adam and Eve in the garden. Listen to your heart. Don't worry about this tree. Why? Because he's very clear about it. He says here, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. Can you imagine? I don't know how many trees there were. Myriads of trees in the garden. You can eat from any tree you like. But you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Decision. For when you eat from it, you will surely die. Consequence. No, Adam. No. Him and Eve, they just, yeah, okay, that's the one tree. That's the one with knowledge. We want knowledge. He said, I'm giving you abundant life. And you go, no, we want knowledge. And we like that sometimes. He says, I'm giving you abundant life. Yeah, but Lord, we need to understand and know everything, and I want knowledge of how that all works. And that's why I think Kevin's point this morning is so poignant for us. Faith. We do it by faith. We don't understand. Faith. We walk by faith. Yes? Thank you. Deuteronomy 30:19. This day I will call heaven and earth as witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life. Even in under old covenant, it was there. New covenant says this. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. How many of you would go, yes, I want life abundantly? I don't know how we're getting there. I don't know what the journey looks like. I'm not sure. I don't understand anything. I just want life abundantly. Oh, but we're living on this side of the garden here going, no, Lord, just give me knowledge. Tell me what to do. Tell me how it all works. Tell me how it pans out in the end. So we got some decisions we got to make this morning. Decision number one. Do you want to continue doing more or receiving what has already been done? We think doing more is the answer. I'm not saying don't read your Bible. I'm not saying don't come to church. I'm not saying don't tithe. I'm not saying don't press into God. Okay? We clear? All right. We think that if I read more, if I do more, if I serve more, and some of you need to actually start serving, if I could just say that, just, yeah, there we go. Can you say that louder? Do more, attend more, serve more. We think that that's how it's going to work. I think I might have told you the story before. We had this guy in South Africa. When that Jabez prayer came out, I think we wanted to shoot it, man. You know, we have to learn. Jabez didn't teach us how to pray. Jesus taught us how to pray. Let's just make sure we understand that. He made his kids pray the prayer of Jabez 5 times a day. And I said, dude, why? Well, they have to learn. I said, no, you're teaching them law and legalism. Well, you think they're going to be better Christians if they repeat Jabez's prayer 5 times a day? How about 7 times? How about 10 times? Ah, spiritual. Yeah, I know. We have to think, you know, that we have to learn to actually receive what has already been done. I think it was Janine might have said this morning, the cross is the finished work. It's done. There's nothing more to do. Jesus, thank you for the cross, but I just think I need to add something so that you will love me. That's doing more. We just got to learn to receive more from him. Understand who we are in Christ. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. It's plain. You're reading the scriptures because you think that's what's going to give you eternal life. Reading more, praying more, walking on our knees more, doing more. I think you get the point. But Jesus is saying, I am the truth and the life. I am the word. I am the way. Come to me and I will give you eternal life. We don't need more religion. We need a relationship with Jesus. Second decision you need to make. Are you trying to get God's approval or are you receiving God's love for you? What is it? You know, God is almost saying, poetic license, God is saying, what do you want of me? Because we have a man in the moon mentality or genie in the bottle mentality. Well, God, if I just rub the genie, you know, God will come. Father Christmas mentality. You know, those kids standing doing their thing, I thought it was brilliant. You know, just give me the car, Lord. Yeah, man, I'd love a Corvette. Anyway, just it's a cherry red one, yeah. What is it you want of me? We have to train our heart to know and to understand and fully grasp that God loves us. God loves you. We forget that God is omniscient and omnipresent. He knows and sees every deed you do and every thought you have, and he loves you for it. He sees that instead of listening to me now, you're on Instagram, Instagramming or Facebooking. How do I know that? Because I follow some of you on Instagram, and when I go home, I see what time you put up on Instagram. You go, oh, that was in the middle of the preach. Yeah, no, careful now. You can't go back and undo, okay? But he knows what you do when you do stuff. It's not like you've got a big secret. God knows. He doesn't punish you for it. He loves you. He might not love what you do, but he still loves you. When we put the decision-making power into Adam's hands, and Adam made the poor decision, what did God do? He came looking for Adam. Can you imagine my first creation? Man, Adam and Eve. Wow, look, they have eternal life. I've given this amazing garden to work in. They've got enough water. They've got food from every tree. I made him and the animals. He sat with me and named all the animals. Man, my Adam. My Adam is so good. Kaboom. Okay. Adam, where are you? I want to have fellowship with you, Adam. Come. He loves us. He loves us so much. The problem is we think that when we mess up, then he's going to come and beat us. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The greatest way, greatest expression of his love for us was to die on the cross for us. You know, they said, well, he can bring 10,000s of angels, can they can rescue him. He, you know, if you're the Christ, then you can do this. If you're the Son of God, you can make this happen. Poetic license here. Jesus being spat on, beaten, lying down, and they're about to nail him in their hands. I know scripture doesn't say anything. And go like, hold it, God, please pause. Excuse me. Are you going to love me? Are you going to follow me? Are you going to be my disciple? To the Roman soldier about to crucify him. No. I think Jesus just turned and looked at him as he nailed him. Can you imagine Jesus staring into your eyes as you're about to nail that thing into his hand? It's okay, Dad, forgive them. They do not know what they do. When they were spitting on him, sorry, will you follow me? Will you be my disciple after you've done this to me? No. He just loved. He loves us and is in love with us. We can't have a skewed view. We get a skewed view through the choices we make when we make the other tree the choice. But when we make the right choice, we see it. And even while we were sinning, he died for us. Third choice, last one. Obeying out of duty or obeying out of delight. Man, when I grew up in Sunday school, I was the most dutiful kid you could ever imagine. Me and my brother and my little sister. We received the full attendance, not half attendance, not 80%, not 95%, but not 90%. The 100% attendance for every single Sunday in the year, we received them as kids every year for about 4 or 5 years. We know duty. We knew duty. We knew and we thought, man, if we go and the people are there and some of them were mean and nasty, as you would say, and some of them scared me. But I was like, no, I'm just going to come and I'm going to be faithful and God's going to love me and I'm going to be dutiful. Well, we want to be dutiful or do we want to obey out of his love for us? John 14:15. If you love me, you will obey me or you will do what I command. Now, you see, I've put a big comma there. And this is the reason. It all depends what side of the comma you live on. If you love me, you will obey what I command. If you live on the right-hand comma, you're going to do this. You will obey me because that's how we read it. That's how we see it. But if you love me, you will obey what I command. Because I'm not dutiful. I delight in obeying my Jesus. I delight in coming here. I delight in reading his word. I delight in gathering to pray. I delight in giving our money into the church. I delight in fellowshipping with you all. I delight in all that. Not because I'm under any command to do it, but I am. But I do it with a what's the word? Sorry, a delight in my heart. Not because it's a command. You shall give your 10% because it's a command. No, I delight in doing that and more. When we get to that choice and we understand something different, because the decision lies in the very verse itself. It comes from the understanding of where that comma sits. And in closing this morning, when I said to you we're going to look at some principles, the first principle I want to talk about this morning in 2 minutes is the refresh principle number one. Psalm 116:12 says, What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? And then it goes on, it says, I will lift up my cup of salvation. I will bring thanksgiving. I will call on the name of the Lord. I will call on his name privately and publicly. I will pay my vows to the Lord. I will have a steadfast devotion to him. This is helping us get out of sad. And it goes on and says, in the presence of all the people, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will do it wherever and whenever. Romans 10:8-10. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. And we live in that place of freedom. And that Isaiah 61 word this morning, to break the chains and break the freedoms, and Kevin's word on breaking the chains of our mind. When we are dead to sin, there's no condemnation that holds us when we are alive to Christ. My righteousness is from him to me. My right standing with God is through him. And so the principle today is we fall in love with Jesus. Refresh ourselves again by falling in love with Jesus. Can we all just stand together, please? We've gone a little bit over the time, but thank you for your patience. If you feel that you've got a little bit of spiritual altering deficit, I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand or anything like that. I want you to do business with the Father right now and say, Lord, I've been a little bit sad of late. I need a refreshing from you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, will you come and refresh me? And Jesus, I come and I want to fall in love with you, Lord. I want to give my thanksgiving to you. I want to declare your love publicly and privately. I want to come before you, Lord God, and bring my cup of salvation. Thank you for saving me, Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you, Lord God, that when I was a sinner, you paid the price, the ultimate price for me. Thank you, Lord God, that we come this morning, Lord God, and I just say, Father, I need more of your sunlight. I need more of Jesus in my life, Lord. I need more of you. Holy Spirit, infuse me once again. Let your fresh breath blow over us this morning, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you just come? Breathe on us this morning. Blow through this place, Lord. Refresh us, Lord God. Let us be a bit of Onesiphorus, Lord. When everyone was deserting, he came seeking. He came looking for Paul. And he says, he often refreshed me. Lord God, let this be one of those often times. Maybe the first of many for a long time. Father, I'm tired of faking it. I don't want to do this anymore, Lord. I want to live for you, Jesus. I'm not putting off anything. I've got some broken relationships I'm going to go and fix today. Lord, I want to be refreshed today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.